And we're back again with another episode of Brother to Brother. Myself and Rayshon King.
What's up?
And he's back in full effect. We've been gone for now 2 weeks. Seemed like 2 months.
Birthday.
We made it.
Yeah.
Rayshon had to celebrate birthday for his wife.
Yep.
But we made it. So today we're going to talk about a little bit of the pros and cons of kids playing sports, and how, you know, especially we feel like you have to have a balance between the two. And so I'm going to ask Rayshon, like, what are your thoughts on, you take the, what you want, the pros or the cons, how you want it?
I could do the pros to it because,
okay.
And I'll just talk about sports in general and how, like, AAU basketball, football, for parks and recreation kind of really saved my life, man. Like, growing up in Southeast Raleigh, you know, that was a very urban area, predominantly black people that stayed in that area. So we didn't have much over in that area growing up. All we knew was sports. And just growing up in a single-parent home, my mom, and she working like almost 12-hour shifts, being a cosmetologist, and you know, I almost went to the streets, man. And then if it wasn't for like AAU basketball and me playing football, I'd probably be somewhere out selling drugs, locked up right now. And you know, just that's just the pros to, you know, being able to play sports and have sports in my life. And that's probably a good pro for a lot of young men, not just black men, could be white men, Hispanic young men. Football, basketball, whatever your craft is, it could be a pro to you. It could save your life, you know what I'm saying? It could help you. It could be an outlet that you can utilize if you have anger issues or if you're going through depression. I mean, I know I had so much anger built up in me growing up, not having my father in the household, that was my outlet. So that was like an asset to me. Without having sports in my life, I would be frustrated, angry, snapping on people all the time. But when I was able to do what I love to do, I mean, it calmed me down. I felt good. I felt happy because I'm like, you know what? I'm doing something that I love to do. And like I said, the pros was just being able to play sports just really, really saved my life. And more so AAU, because during that time, AAU's played in the summer. Mm-hmm. And during the summer, you out of school. And
a lot of free time.
So my mom made sure she had me and my brother in AAU basketball and traveling, being able to experience the world and other cities like that. But back when I played AAU, it was totally different from when kids play AAU now. And I think it starts with parenting. Like, parents now are
so involved
to the point where it's like they force their kids to be in something. Where it's like back when I played, I wasn't forced into it. It's something that was kind of an outlet for me. It was something that it was needed, and my mom, I'm not saying my mom forced me into it. It's more so it was needed to save my life. Whereas now kids are forced into doing something that they don't really want to do. Like, so I think it starts with the parents, and that's why I say it's a pro for me growing up, because it really saved my life. So.
Yeah. It's a pro for me too, but I like to look at it the other side of everything in your life. You try to look at to balance it out. The con of, you know, kids doing sports all the time is they don't build work habits. They don't know what it takes to work in a workforce, so they go from playing AU basketball to high school football team to the high school basketball team back to AU basketball, and that's a whole 365 days right there gone.
Yeah.
Then they're 18 years old, they graduate, and they have no work experience.
Right.
You know, never ran their social security number at a job, never did anything to get a W-2 form. You know, like the things that they should do. You know, for myself, when I got old enough to work, that was the first thing I was like, yo, summertime, I got to get this money. I need it. I want my own car. You know, I had to pay for my own insurance. Again, you know, single parent home, I had to do everything based on my own. You know, it just, and I wanted those things, and I knew that, you know, sports helped me, but at that time, I was like, okay, I got to help my mom too.
Right.
So, I did, you know, I did get a job and, you know, got my own little car, 92 Ford Escort, two-door. Okay. Never did it, yes, sir.
Need for Speed.
No, nah, we're going that fast. 85 was the max, baby. 85. Boy, one time I tried to open her up, boy, she was... bring it back down to 55. We got there though, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my little baby first car I bought, 92 Escort. Mm. But anyway, yeah, it's just, you know, AAU basketball, man, is a multi-billion dollar industry.
Yeah.
And these people are making money off of the kids that are not getting experience to help them make money one day in life.
Right.
That's how I look at it. You know, maybe because I own a business and you look at everything differently now. And I look at it like, you know, I have a kid walking here, you know, they go to a high school up the street and he asks, you know, what we hiring? And I said, no, I'm not hiring right now, but have you worked anywhere else? And then he said, no. I was like, how are you? He said, 18. I said, you never worked anywhere else? He said, no. I said, you graduate? Yeah, I graduated last year. So in a couple months, he graduated this past June. So in June of 2020, it'd be a year. And he just came here a couple weeks ago, asked me for a job, you know, and never had zero experience, you know.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. And he told me all the things that he did. And the first thing came out of his mouth was what? Sports. Yeah, I was Team Cat on my AAU basketball team. Well, that's good. Don't get me wrong. That says a lot about you. Don't.
Right.
But I'm looking like, how that's going to help you with me?
Right.
You know, you haven't worked anywhere. Right. But then, you know, I talked to him and everything. So we are going to get him a try, you know, coming up here. The holidays would get busy. So I get a contact. Don't want to share his information with y'all. But he will be here working with me coming up. But it was just like, you know, what if I wasn't that person, that boss, that the owner was like, I'm going to give him that chance to be able to have working experience. You know, some people come in and say, you got experience? Take you to the side.
Right.
At this day in America, they want you to have all these requirements to get a job, you know. And to me, you know, you have to be qualified in this and qualified in that. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, that's fine and dandy. But, again, it would be nice to, you know, train that kid or, you know, that adult, whoever, to be what you want them to do at your job.
Right.
And that's why I was like, you know, it said a lot about his character, he being a team captain, you know. So obviously his peers or his coaches them looked up to him in a certain way.
Right.
So that's why I took it by me coaching sports.
Right.
You know, I looked at it like, okay, cool. Now I know that this guy is a leader and not a follower, you know. Let me give him a chance and stuff. And, you know, again, the cons of that is, you know, we have kids, not only just himself, but we have kids that literally, you know, spend their whole high school career chasing the ball or doing whatever. And then at the end, that ball's going to end, you know, and they have zero work experience. And I mean, what do you tell a kid that come to your job 18 years old, he haven't done nothing? What do you tell that kid? You know, I'm not hiring, you know, like, come back tomorrow.
Right.
Because, you know, or they look at your application. When you put your application in, they look at it and it says work experience zero.
Right. That's why I think it starts with parents, man. Like, it really starts with the parents. Like, y'all really gotta get y'all kids, like, experience and get prepared for life in general.
You gotta say we. You're a parent too.
Oh, well, we. I'm saying y'all because my son get that age, I'm not gonna do that, but.
Yeah.
But we as parents have to get our kids prep for life. I know, like, growing up, that's something that my mom prepared me and my siblings for, like, how to write checks and how to go into the bank, like, how to, you know what I'm saying, exchange money, don't get cheated out of your money, how to hold a conversation with a person, like, when you go into a store or going to somebody at the cash register, like, simple basic stuff, like, you know what I'm saying, how to file your taxes and stuff like that. Like, a lot of kids parents wait till they get their kids get a certain age. They be grown men and women and don't even know how to
go to the bank.
Pump gas, bro. Right? Like,
yes.
Like, you know what I'm saying? But
true
that's
story.
That's bad though. Like,
it's bad.
And it's cause, like, some parents are so tuned in, oh, that's my baby and I'm gonna let him play sports and I'm gonna take care of him. Sometimes you gotta let go to let people grow.
Yep.
You gotta let go to grow. Like, you know what I'm saying?
That's good. Let go to grow.
Let go to grow. That's true.
That's
know what I'm saying? I just made it up too.
Yeah.
So you gotta let go to grow.
Yeah.
But that's facts though. Like,
yeah.
Because I know, like, now, like, I got friends, like, some of my close friends, like, I consider, like, some of my brothers. don't even never had a full-time job in their life, man. Mm-hmm. And they like 26 because they've been dependent on sports all their life. Mm-hmm. That's all they know. But that's more, it's more to life than sports. That's why it's very important. It's very imperative that you have a backup plan. And you got your backup plan's got to be more your main priority than your sport. Correct. Because if something happens, you're not promised tomorrow. Yo, you could break a leg. You could break a toe. You could just not even wake up the next day. And you just going to depend on sports? Like, come on. It's more to life than just sports. But I'm not going to say I blame it, but I put it on the parents to get their kids prepped for that because at a young age, kids not think about that. You know what I'm saying? I know I won't think about it. But having like my mom and pushing that on us at a young age, when I'm like 15, 14, and she still allowed us, like you said, balance, still allowed us to play sports, but let us know, hey, at the same time, you need to get prepared for this because when you hit 18, life gonna be knocking at your door because I'm letting you go. You know what I'm saying? So
that's something in the household, boy. You turn 18, you got the house.
And see, that's a whole other subject that we could touch on, but I'm gonna briefly touch on it because different ethnicities believe in different things. So I think the black community believing, okay, it's a generational thing that's cursed or whatever you want to call it that's going on where parents force their kids to go out at the age of 18. Majority of Caucasian people don't push their kids out. They wait till their kids get financially stable and have their own household, and then they let their kids go. That's the problem with us as black people now. We're forcing our kids to go out into this world and they're not prepared. It's okay for your kid. If you got to hold your kid on to teach them, to raise them so they could be financially ready. Because when they get out in the world and they're not ready for the world, they're going to sink.
It's going to keep piling up on them.
And then they stuck in a hole that they can't get out because you ain't preparing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, white people don't do that. I'm keeping 100. White people do not do that. Straight up. Let's keep it all 100. They don't do that. They prepare their kids. They prep their kids for life. And that's why they always, I'm not going to say always, majority of them be financially stable. I'm not going to say successful because successful is different levels of it.
Yeah.
They be financially stable and prep for life, man. Like, and that's what we have to start doing as well. That's the problem with the black community and black people to this day.
Yep. At 18, you knew what time it was.
Mm-hmm.
Your mom always made it known. You turn 18, boy, you out my house.
You out the house.
My birthday, March 18th. Boy, I graduated high school June 6th. Boy, I was like...
My sister
nervous.
Left the crib at 17. Gone at 17. And the only reason I stayed in there to about 21, 22, really 23, because of my cancer situation. If I had cancer,
curve, gone.
You know what I'm saying?
Curve.
Gone. That's the only reason I stayed because of my cancer situation. My sister left at 17 years old and been holding her weight ever since then. But she was prep and prepare for that because my mama prepared for that. But my mom was one of those parents where she didn't prepare my sister for that. My sister would have sunk right down. She would have been there, probably still sunken down to this day because she won't prepare for it. So.
Yeah. And again, like you said, so, you know, with the sports, you know, sports teach you a lot. We know that coaching sports, playing sports, it teaches you a lot for life. It preps you for life.
Mm-hmm.
But then when life hit, you got to, you know, pick up from it and carry with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like sports teach you a lot about, you know, teamwork. You can't name a job in America that you don't work together with somebody to get a job done.
Right.
That's a common goal.
Right.
You know, football, everybody's goal at the beginning of the year is what? To win the state championship or win the national championship in college, you know,
right.
Or win the Super Bowl.
Right.
That's there. Everybody, I don't care what team it is, the Browns, the Clemson Tide, NC State, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, high school, you know, middle grade, you know, it don't matter the high school. You know, their common goal at the beginning of the season is to win that last goal at the end of that prize, which is, like I said, state championship
right.
and the college national championship in the NFL, the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So we all work together. No matter, and you know what's funny? Seeing and think about it. No matter your race, we all work together to try to get a goal.
Yep.
And no matter what background, where you came from, rich, poor, you know, whatever, we on this team to do something together
right.
as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get out in the real world, same thing. You know, like,
right.
no matter what you, who you believe, what you do, whatever, but you can get the job and you have to work together to get that job done.
Right.
You know, even if you're your own boss. Because guess what? Your customers is going to tell you what they want done.
Right.
You know, you have your own landscape because they might say, hey, I want you to cut my grass this way this week.
Mm-hmm.
But you going to do it your way?
You better do it that way.
You do it that way. So there's no job in America that where you work solo by yourself and that's it.
Right.
You have, even if you own your business, a customer's going to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I own a business. Customers tell me something every day, how they want something done. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's my business, but guess what? I got to do it that way. If not, they can go somewhere else.
They even go back to sports, because there's some sports that people think, oh, I'm in this by myself, like golf or boxing. No, you're not. You got a team with you, dog. You can't go in there in that ring or out on that golf course by yourself and think you're going to win that thing by yourself. No. It's always somebody that's in your corner. You need somebody in your corner at all times.
That's why it's called coaches, right?
Yep, coaches, yep.
And then, you know, that's again, like I said, you know, it's important to have it. We're not saying it's not important, but it comes that balance. What we're saying is, you know, your kid turned 15. I couldn't wait till I turned 16 to be able to have a job.
Right.
My first job was at Highway 55, with Andy's. Mm. It's called Highway 55 now.
Okay.
But it was my first job. I never forget it. My grandfather took me to the job interview. And I knew when I left the job interview, I was going to get my license. So I was happy to just ride the car with somebody one more time. You know what I'm saying? So I got there, had the interview, got to me, I had the job, granted to run the DMV, got my little license. Boy, I was happy. Mm-hmm. Had the job and license, but still drive my grandma's car to work. I say every check, I wasn't doing nothing. I didn't need, matter of fact, being in high school, we used to go off campus for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
I literally had a $20 budget every week. After that $20 was gone, I was done. So I was McDonald's at $2, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Two burgers and a drink, $3.25. Take the tax of the day. $3.25. You know what I'm saying?
You know the exact price.
$3.25. You know what I'm saying? I nickel down all week because I stretched that 20 far as I could.
Yeah.
Because I knew I was trying to save my check to buy me a car. And again, the first car I bought was a 92 Ford Escort. Mm. I only paid $700 from a car auction for that car. Mm. And she ran for life, man. That was my baby. First car I ever had. And you know, I worked to get that. I give my grandma my check, you know, to save the money. And that's something else that we don't talk about in our community, how to save and
budget your money.
Budget. And honestly, you know, as I got older, I got away from it. I didn't continue it. And because, you know, it's discipline within yourself,
right?
Which I learned myself in the last couple months about, you know, I had to put it away and can't go do it. You have to discipline yourself,
right?
You know, but if it was something instilled to me at a younger age, I feel like it's more easier to do later on in life. You know, and like I said, the sports thing, like I had to find that balance with myself. Again, my mom was working all the time, and I had to, you know, take care of the house, then come home, you know, work, go to practice myself. And then when football was over with, and I didn't do basketball after my 10th grade year in high school, so when basketball season ended, I worked, you know.
Right.
And then when track came around, I did track. But like I said, but I had to find time in between whatever that window was. Mm-hmm. And like I said, summertime, we didn't really. Now it's football is almost all year long in high school, besides a couple weeks where they call dead periods. But for the most part, back then, football didn't start back up until August 1st. You know?
Yeah, and see, that's another thing. Like I know for a fact, like both of us growing up, like kids now, they don't play like. But they do play. Some of them do. But I know growing up, I played multiple sports. Like
yeah.
The kids nowadays, like,
one sport.
Play one sport and then they stick with it. Like, no. They don't, like, some of the greatest athletes to this day played multiple sports. And they are the Michael Jordan. And they the reason they're the way they are because they played multiple sports. Like, how can you just focus on one sport and get training and working out? And because basketball reflects on football and vice versa. The stuff that you get trained on in basketball, your footwork help you out on that football field. When you lifting weights in the weight room on football, help you out on the basketball court to hold your weight against bigger dudes.
Yeah.
Man, I'm 5'11", 5'10", man. From AAU all the way to college, man, I was able to play.
Which one are you? 5'10 or 5'11", cuz?
I'm 5'10 and a half, so I'm right there. I float with both of them.
Yo, you 5'10 and three quarters, y'all. Yeah. I'm there.
But I was able to, me playing basketball and football helped me out in both sports. Like, I was able to hold my weight on the basketball court against cats that's 230, 215, 6'10, 6'11. I'm 5'10, 5'11, 175 pounds. But yeah. I was so strong because I lift weights in football that I was able to help. I was able to go down there in the paint and bang with him.
And that 6'10 guy only played basketball.
Only played basketball. So I'm out there kicking his butt. And everybody trying to figure out how this 10 and a half dude dominating this 6'8, 6'10 dude because I played multiple sports. I didn't just focus on basketball. I didn't just focus on football. I played both of them. So that made me a all around better athlete.
With that being said, I'm going to tell you something that I personally feel and I know I went through. Track prepared me a lot for mental, the individual mentally stable of sports. Mm-hmm. Football, it's a team thing, you know. Mm-hmm. But track is just you.
Yeah,
it's just you. I don't care. And the only event, you know, you have your relays. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that becomes a team.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it's still gonna be you, because once you get that baton, it's on you.
Right. Yeah.
Get smoked or smoke. You know what I'm saying? It's on you. Once I got a baton in my hand, mm-hmm. I can't blame my teammate if I'm getting smoked by the person beside me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's just you, 100%.
Right.
But it teaches you, and you build yourself up mentally, man. And that's why, honestly, a lot of like track athletes, man, that play football, mm-hmm. they're not just fast on the football field, mm-hmm. but they're mentally ready. Or even wrestling, man. I did wrestling for mm-hmm. my freshman year of high school, man. When I moved, mm-hmm. I didn't do it at my other high school. Mm-hmm. But anyway, wrestling, man, is another individual sport that build you up mentally. You know, mm-hmm. it's tough. It's mm-hmm. really tough. And I don't care what weight class you're in. You have to be mentally prepared for that.
Right.
You can't go out there thinking, oh, I'm going to just dominate or whatever.
Right.
No, you got to mentally become ready.
Right.
And again, that's how the kids, I look at again, that later on in life, how sports prepare you for life, but then mm-hmm. that work experience still got to come in time with it,
right,
before you be a job. Because jobs are going to be hard every day.
It is.
You know, it'll be easy some days, some days will be hard.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the balance mm-hmm. of work mm-hmm. and sports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the best boss that I ever worked with mm-hmm. was a sport. They played sports in life.
Right.
But some of the worst bosses I ever had never played sports.
Right.
They don't know what it takes to be a team player.
Right.
They don't. They just look at it and call it a certain way,
mm-hmm.
and don't even look at the other side of it or try to balance it out. You know.
Right.
And that's again, you know, that's again the power of sports. You know, we always talk about, you know, like in our community, you know, things we could do, and I feel like that's something that we should be pushing to this generation now,
mm-hmm.
the new millennium, gives that. Slow the ball down, get a job.
Right.
Slow the ball down, get a job.
Right, especially for young black men and women. Because I think us as black people, parents, young men and women, feel like that's the only way out.
Out.
And it's not. And you're talking to two well successful, highly educated black men right now, or listening to two successful black men that took the sports route, but realized that, hey, it's more to life than sports. Chris got his own business, man. I mean, doing a phenomenal job. Phenomenal father, like he's holding his weight. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm doing a phenomenal job. Man, just had my first child, and I got a phenomenal job, man. I chose to give up college sports to obtain a degree and elevate myself mentally on educational level and physically and just in life in general. And I know for mm-hmm. you probably did the same thing, like, you know.
Yep.
Because I said, you know what, it got to a point where I realized that my ball was going flat. And that's another thing, some people don't realize that your ball go flat. When you realize that your ball is going flat, just let it go. Why keep on trying? Just go ahead and take it to another outlet, try something different, because you never know what God has in store for you. So
yeah, that's real deep, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, if we don't realize our ball go flat, we just keep trying to play with a flat ball,
mm.
keep playing, and then things don't happen your way, and you quit. Okay? And then when that quitting happen, that's going to be a repeat behavior throughout life. You don't quit
yep.
on everything.
Yep.
Quit, you know, and it's, you don't want to be that person. You don't want to do that.
Right.
But, you know, it's okay in the season, coach, you know, this ain't for me.
Mm-hmm.
I thank you for the opportunity.
Right.
And you just go about your business, you know what I'm saying? Like, nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But just because week five and it's, bro, I'm quitting this, bro.
Right.
No, at least finish it.
Right.
Be a finisher, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be a quitter, you be a finisher.
And that's another thing, too, for parents and young men and women. When you are doing your craft, and I'm going to say craft because we not just talking about sports, but anything in general, whether you trying to be in a band or you trying to be a cook, a chef, if you realize that this is not your specialty, just try something different. Because that's one thing that bothers me, is like parents push kids to try to be in this sport and they know their kid not good, and you forcing your kid to do something that for one they don't want to do, and then for two they not good at. Now that they got to a point at a certain age where they wasted so much time, they could have been doing something that they love to do and was good at, and you chose to push them on something else. And that goes for kids that think they're good at something, and they need to realize that, hey, this is not for me. Let me try something else, that, or let me try something that I know or other people think that I'm good at. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It's two things about that you said. One, the parent sometimes live their life through their kid.
Through their kid. Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, I want to be a good basketball player, my son won't be it.
You gotta
stop.
You know what I'm saying? They gotta stop.
That, or the mother, like, oh, we gonna make it out of this project because my son gonna be the best football player. Mm-hmm. Okay. And little Johnny, yeah, ain't the best. You know. Right. Yeah, and another thing gets off of that is, you know, I look at it again about that. I feel like every kid should not get an award at NBA.
That's, I totally agree.
You know, Jamal just played Pop Warner, and I told him, don't waste their money on a player. If he's not the best, if he's not whatever rewards you give out, the best running back, the best offensive player, the best, whatever. If he's not that, don't give him an award just for participating.
Right.
Because in life, you don't get an award for just showing up for work.
You don't
get an award for just showing up for work. You got to put effort in to get an award.
Right.
You know?
That's true.
And you know, that's, and what are you teaching the kid again? Like, right. Okay, every year, oh, I'm going to get an award just for showing up, just for showing up. That don't get you nowhere in life. You're not winning nothing in life for just showing up. You have to do more than just show up.
Yep. And to kind of piggyback off what you just said with that, and kind of like, because I feel like something like you said, how some parents try to say, oh, my son is good, I'm going to lean on him to make it. Okay, some parents, you do have a kid that's good and can make it to that highest level, but don't push your kid on doing something. I mean, sports, when you choosing sports over like an education, like. But at the same time, you don't know what your son going through, like physically, he's wearing and tearing on his body in the long run to the point where he won't be able to hold a substantial level on the highest level because he's been. Went through so much stuff through sports at a young age.
Injuries
and stuff. And then when they, like a lot of kids, when they make it to that highest level, they don't last long because they've been pushed to the max where they, to the point where their body can or can't take. And then they wear out when they get to that point. Now it's like, you was depending on your son and he made it, but then he had to go.
Yep.
And so now he don't know nothing. He don't have no education. Dropped out of college or high school just to go this route because you thought he was going to make it. I mean, you should have been.
No, he didn't drop out. He did the bare minimum.
Bare minimum to get
through high school.
Cool, okay.
The bare minimum to get through college. And never finished college because he went to this professional level.
Mm-hmm.
And now you get there or don't even make it.
You know people
declare for the NFL or NBA
don't
even get drafted or nothing. And guess what? It's, and a good example, I'm going to touch briefly on it. I look at it now like how people capitalize again on money us and we don't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, good example. If kids don't make the NBA in America, they don't make the D-League. You have teams overseas that go do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The kids, a lot of times, not all, again, we're not saying all, but I feel like some of them go play the basketball league over there because, again, they don't know what it is to get a job and work.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they go over there and they'll work, they'll do that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot his name. He just played last year or year for last with the Lakers, older guy.
He was there with the Lakers for
a little bit of time.
He was in the G League for a long
time. Yeah, he was in the G League for a long time.
He was the oldest player
in the G League. Yeah, he was the oldest player. Like, but I feel like if you ask him why he was in it so long, because he was scared to get a job. He didn't know what it was. All he knew was basketball.
Right.
You know, and again, he did get a chance to go, you know, we knew who he was by getting called up by the NBA. But that was short-lived.
Right.
I would love to know what he's doing right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, because eventually that ball will go flat.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, when the kids go overseas, they do this, they play there, and the first thing they holler is tax-free money. Okay, cool. That's good. But... eventually, that ball over there, something's going to happen.
And then a lot of them don't even think about it to the point where, okay, if you know you don't have no education or you didn't take that route or didn't finish school or don't have the knowledge on what to do after you finish your profession, why don't you take that money and save it and invest it or start investing it as soon as you get it? Because that's a backup, that's an asset that you can have that could be beneficial down the road.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying?
But again, right, if from day one, if we're never taught these things, you get it. It's like if you walk right now, if you just saying you walk in and you found $1 million on the ground, not just a bag, there was $1 million in it.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing in your mind is not right now, but right back then is, I'm gonna buy a car. car.
I got money to blow.
I'm gonna blow. Right. You know, because you're not taught that.
Not taught. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But now, Ray.
Oh man, save it, invest it.
Invest it. Well, I gotta get this. I gotta real estate. I gotta get into something that is gonna make me money.
Money. Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
To keep that money coming in.
Mm-hmm. Because you know it's something that I learned. You know, even by doing the business now that, you know, $1 million is nothing compared to $1 million worth of assets.
That's true.
And it sounds crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, $1 million ain't nothing. Because once, you know, that'd be trickling down, blowing, you know, that million you spending is all gone. Mm-hmm. But if I got $1 million for assets over here, that's solid, you know, unless I sell it. But then I get, you know, money, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a difference. Mm-hmm. But you don't learn these things until someone teach you or you learn for yourself as you get older.
That's like another thing, too. Multiple incomes is better than one.
Yeah.
That's most of the revenue incomes is better than one. Some people think if I get a job and I make $100,000 or $1 million, I'm going to be good. A yearly salary, $1 million in salary. If you have multiple incomes coming in, flowing, you got, you know what I'm saying, more money coming in different routes that, for one, the government can't tap. But, you know, that's better. Multiple incomes is better than one income. So.
And with that being said, that's why I work all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm a natural. If it's legal, I can do it.
Do it right.
Illegally, I don't do it.
I don't mess with it.
I'm good. You know what I'm saying? I'll go do anything. Rape somebody leaves up right now, they want it done.
Cut some grass.
That don't matter. I do it all. Change the tires, your brakes, I do
right.
it.
Right, yeah.
I just did something this morning. But like I said, but yeah, man, we enjoy doing this podcast. Mm-hmm. We look forward to it every week. It's an outlet for us to just laugh and joke and talk about different issues. We are literally working on doing this panel, guys, where we're going to have some females, and we basically gonna draw some topics out of a hat, I guess you'll say, and we're going to get both sides of it right into there. Mm-hmm. Working on that right now and getting some females on board with that. I think that's going to be really good for us to hear from, you know, some of them are single mothers, and some of them might not be a mother, but still, you better get to hear, you know, both sides right then and there in response, and, you know, something we can go along with. Right. And I feel like that's important too.
Right.
And with that being said, you know, we'd like to end the podcast with something positive. And you want to share anything, Ray? Something positive to share back? Or?
Like I always state, man, to everybody, you know what I'm saying? Cherish life, live life to the fullest. Never take life for granted because you never promise tomorrow. And always, always remember to put God first. Always remember that. So.
All right. You heard it from Ray himself. Ray the Great. The living legend.
Rich the Great. The GOAT.
Nah, man.
The greatest of all time.
I might be the greatest of all time, but he the living legend.
Nah.
All right, man. Y'all have a great week.
All
and
right,
again,
you
can reach out to us. And we'll gladly respond back to you. And y'all have a blessed week.
All right.